the only thing that would stop me from not getting this would be myself, because now I really want it. And I like those challenges personally, because I feel like now that I get to get this done, it helps me build self-esteem and, you know, confidence. And I feel like anything I want to do is achievable, you know?
Bonjour, hi, my name is Juliette and I'm obsessed with all things self-development, goal setting, health and sustainability. Originally from France, I made the move to Canada with a vision to design my dream balanced life. On this podcast, I share with you everything I've learned along the way, the challenges, the lessons, and of course, the successes. It's also my chance to sit down with local experts, diving into the services and products that have the power to transform our lives. So grab your favorite headphones, stay hydrated, and get ready to learn simple tips that will elevate your life. Welcome to Good in Motion. Today in Good in Motion, we're chatting with Doina Onchel, a licensed financial advisor and broker. She's also known in her community for being a change maker, a founder, an innovator, and a social entrepreneur. When I met Doina for the first time over a year ago, I loved her energy and determination. So I was not surprised when I learned that she's been nominated for many awards, and she's part of the top 100 2021 WXM Canada's Most Powerful Women. Because of her unique journey and diverse professional background, I find Doina to be a relatable guest, offering practical wisdom and guidance for those who want to improve their financial stability and get empowered. In this episode, you will learn more about the importance of financial literacy, some of the financial tricks that Doina follows for herself, and why cultivating an abundant mindset is important for your growth. Now, let's get started. Hi, Doina, and welcome to Good in Motion. I'm very excited to have you here today because you are my second guest on the platform. So thank you for trusting me with your message. So I went and looked at your previous episodes you've recorded on other platforms. And so I was able to learn more about your background. And I think we share a milestone this year because I moved to Canada almost 10 years ago. And I think if that's correct, you will celebrate 30 years in June.
Yes.
And so you moved from Romania. We'll learn more about this in a minute. You've had many, many chapters in your life. You worked in very different industries and you were, I believe, a hairdresser. You worked in the renovation and you had a digital marketing company as well.
Yes.
There's a lot to unpack here. And specifically, I'm just curious about that new chapter in your life, which is in the finance industry. So if you could share a bit with us, what brought you in this new industry and what you do, how you help your clients today, that would be awesome.
Thank you, Juliet. Well, first, I want to say thank you for having me as a guest to your podcast. I'm really honored to be here. As for why I am in the finance industry, honestly, it's a little bit of a personal story. And that is that I have been like 15 years ago, I was in a lot of debt. And I remember going to the bank and asking for help. And the bank couldn't help me because, you know, I needed to have a certain amount of money before they even set an appointment. And I didn't have it. Basically, my questions was always that how do I actually get to make that money? How do I get to become to the point where you get to actually see me? And so I run across a financial advisor that actually came to my house and talked to me about how to budget and, you know, set up goals and what do I want in life. So from there, I saw a lot of positive effects that financial literacy had onto me. And I was very eager to get my license in 2017. And I went halfway. I was literally halfway to the program. I've done tests, exams, certifications, and all of this, like halfway there. And then I had to let it go because I was busy with work. And now this time around, I said, I really want to do this because I have a lot of people ask me questions. Basically, you know, how do you save more money? How do you get to achieve those goals? And, you know, how can you make that happen? And so I decided, you know what, let me just do this professionally. So I got a license, and this time around, instead of stopping halfway, I did it in 45 days. I studied, I went test after test. It was altogether about 10 exams, and I did that in 45 days. So I'm very proud of myself for that.
Yes, this is a big accomplishment. You had just the mindset. You were like, okay, I'm going to take massive action and it's going to happen.
Yes, I love to challenge myself. And I was working full time and I was not feeling well. And I had my kids. And I said, no, like the only thing that would stop me from not getting this, it would be myself, because now I really want it. And I like those challenges personally, because I feel like now that I get to get this done, it helps me build self-esteem and, you know, confidence. And I feel like anything I want to do is achievable, you know?
Yeah. And just to get the timeline right, because I think it's important for the audience to understand that sometimes you have a project in mind, and because life happens, you put it on the side and you come back to it later. So you started in 2017. And then when did you complete it?
So almost a year and a half ago. So that's like, what, 5 years later, I went back to get it done, to complete it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Was it in the back of your mind that whole time?
It was in the back of my head. I was applying a lot of those concepts to my life. And also my friends were asking me, you know, how do you actually save money? How do you actually do this, right? And I thought, you know, instead of doing it in a more informal way, why not just get my license and actually do it and be able to really help people? Because before it was just about advice, right? Like, you know, this is how what I do personally to, you know, save more money, to be able to buy things, you know. This is where I decided it's really important for me to get my license, because I set a goal to myself. That's another thing that I can share. And I said, I want to buy a house. I want to buy my own place, my first place in Canada. So after being here for almost 30 years, I said, it's about time. And then I set up a challenge and I said, at the end of 2020, I'm going to buy my first home by the end of 2021. And I didn't have much savings. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have anything. I just set the intention. And then from there, I started working backwards. And I tell people, by the way, I set the intention to buy my place, you know, at the end of 2021. I said, do you have a broker? No. Hey, I know someone. Let me connect you with this person. Do you have a realtor? No. Okay, let me connect you with this person. She's really good. The broker told me about what I need, how much money do I need for my down payment and what I have to work with, where am I at? She gave me a realistic view as to where I am. And then I was able to work a plan. I was able to save money in a year to be able to put money for down payment. And it was lower than normal people would do, right? The people put big money for down payment. I'm like, can I do this with just what I have? And I did it, you know? It's just a matter of like setting intentions, setting goals, and knowing what you want, and have a plan, and find the right people to help you with that plan. That's the key to everything you want to succeed in life, really.
Absolutely. And also because you've just set that intention and you put it out there, maybe with your network, you are able to find the right person, which is how it works. I've been learning this more recently, but it's impressive how magic almost it is.
Exactly. Yes.
And I wanted to keep that question for later in the conversation, but because you're talking about intention, in another podcast episode, you talked about mindsets and having an abundance mindset. And you even give an example, if I remember it correctly, it's about when you pay your bills, to be grateful, but, you know, paying the bills. So I'm curious to know, when did you understand the importance of having an abundance mindset and how to cultivate it for someone to get started?
Good question. So for me, it started when I was in a really low place in my life. You know, 15 years ago, I was $60,000 in debt and with two kids, and I lived in a shelter because I had to escape domestic violence and hard to find my way. And when I look around, people around me, people that didn't actually have, were the people that were always negative. And then I started looking at people that have a little bit more, and not necessarily have more of the material stuff, but have more peace, have more appreciation for life and be happier. And those are the people that will show gratitude, you know. And what I learned is that the things that we have to pay for, usually they give us something. Like, for example, when I pay my electricity bill, instead of saying, oh my God, I have to pay this bill, I say, I have electricity. There was a time in my life when I lived in Romania, we had that cut off. We only had that 2 or 3 hours a day. And so now I actually have it. So I look at it from that, I have electricity, so I'm paying so that I can have something that is given to me in exchange for money, and I can have it anytime I need it without having it, you know, cut off for no reason. You know, the same thing with other things. Like if I pay my car payment, I have a car that takes me to go see my friends. I have a car, I can take my daughter to school. I have a car that I can go and go for road trips with my kids and build memories. You know what I mean? So that's why I give gratitude when I pay my bills. And I learned that from people. I learned that from people around me that were doing similar things, not just how they pay the bills, because I haven't seen them how they pay the bills, but I've seen them how they give appreciation for the things that they have, whether it was a lot, whether it was a little, you know?
Yes.
That's how it started for me.
And I love that it actually started when you have very little,
mm-hmm.
because it shows that you don't need to already have much to practice this gratitude.
Absolutely.
It's a powerful exercise.
Yes, it is. It works.
So you say that you were experiencing debts, and it sounded like it was almost by chance, a financial advisor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious if you were looking for one or it just happened this way.
I would tell people that I trusted that I am in a really bad situation financially. And I don't know what to do. I'm going to the bank and nobody wants to help me. And then somebody said, I know someone that has helped me. Are you okay if I make an introduction? I said, sure. I mean, it was someone that I trusted that would make an introduction. And then she used this person. So that's how it started. And I believe that, honestly, I think that once we become real about where we are, like, you know, this is where I am, and be okay with sharing where you are in life and be okay with asking for help. Then asking for help doesn't necessarily mean like, hey, can you help me? It's like asking for help also means, you know, talking to a friend and be real. Like, this is where I am and this is kind of what I need. I'm not really sure what to do. And being open to people giving you their advice or resources, you know, take it or leave it, but at least be open and have an open mind when people give you those resources, because it could actually change your life for the better.
Yeah, I love that, because you didn't specifically knew what you needed, or like you knew a way, which was the bank, and this way didn't work. But just by sharing with other people and being authentic and raw about it, you are able to find other options that you didn't maybe know existed, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And it was the same way with what happened for, I believe, your education.
Yes. Well, my thing was that when I came to this country, right, I didn't understand how the school system works. And I really thought that in order for me to go to post-secondary, I need to have money to pay for it out of pocket. Kind of like as if you go to private school. And I didn't know that there was another way until I actually talked to somebody. But it took a long time. I talked to somebody and I said, you know, I want to go to school. I don't have the money to go. And he's like, well, you could, you know, come back in a week. I was on social work at that time, on social assistance. And the way the system is designed is to keep you there, not really for you to grow. And every time I say I want to go to school, they're like, well, if you go to school, we're going to cut you off. How are you going to support your kids? And so I would just did what I needed to do to show off for this appointment, just so I can collect the check so that I can pay for the bills for my kids. Until one day, my social worker wasn't there. There was somebody else. And he said, you look like you don't want to be here. And I said, I don't. I come here because I have to. But what I want to do is I want to go to school. He says, why don't you? Because I'm told that if I am going to go to school, I'm not going to have the basic needs met. And he's like, but there are different ways to come back in a week. And he gave me a list of things and how to apply for bursaries, how to apply for OSAP. And literally by the end of the year, I was already enrolled in school. You know, and just lack of information, not knowing. And I think that's why it's important for us to be expressive to what we need, right? Instead of keeping it inside, because help is out there. We just don't even know it actually exists until we actually say it out loud.
Yeah. Yeah, this is awesome. I want also to add that sometimes there's so much information that we don't know which one to choose.
Sometimes it's also testing it out to see how it works, right? When you get later on with money, for example, when you start to have more money and then you understand how money works, then you understand that sometimes it's okay to take risks, right? The very typical money advice that you get is diversify, right? That's the secret, diversified. Don't just keep your money in one basket. I'm sure you've heard that before. And you always have to put a little bit on one product and then the other product and see how it works and always test it out. The same happens when you start a business. You start it, you test it out, you evaluate to see how it works. You continue, you shift, you pivot. With money is the exact same way. Test out, see how it works, you pivot. But the one thing that is actually different about the money versus starting a business with the money is the long-term game, as it's called, right? It may not change in a year, you may change in 5, right? You may not change in 5 years, you could change in 10. So it depends on a lot of things, but this is just more like an overall general thing. Like, I didn't mean to actually get into this, but I kind of feel like I want to now. Like investing, you know, when it comes to money, investing is the boring thing that nobody really talks about. And that's the exciting part of money that is boring. You know, it shouldn't give you a heart attack. It's like long-term game. Put money where you need to, diversify in a different portfolio, and wait. You wait and watch your money grow. That's it, you know.
Yeah, it sounds very boring. And even with social media, we're used to everything, like the lights just everywhere, just zoom in, zoom out, lots of music. It's moving all the time. So I think we're wired now. We want things to pop everywhere.
But honestly, I think that with people, when it comes to money, like the best advice that I ever got is don't watch what other people do. Have someone you trust to direct you to create a package for you, because your situation is different than other people's situation. So whatever they share, that's their story, that's their journey, and they could start with more money than you or less money than you, and obviously that's going to have a different outcome. And the same thing for you, you have to work with someone to get you on the right path to whatever you are. Your journey might be different than another person. So it's important that when it comes to money, don't get your advice from social media. Get your advice from someone that you trust, that is an advisor that fully understands your situation and they can help you grow your money, right? It's not necessarily the same. You know, you can start with, like, I have kids, you don't have kids. You know, I have a job that makes a certain amount of money, you have a job that makes less money. You know what I mean? Like, we all start differently. So that's why it's important to keep that in mind when it comes to your money journey, you know?
I love that. Yeah, I think having just customized advice is always better.
Yes, I think you're going to like this. How we supposed to work is we also have our own goals, right? And my goal could be, you know, I want to spend more time with my kids and more time with my friends. And what does that look like? Do I want to go on vacation with my kids, or do I want to go local? You know, and so obviously my goal and my aspirations could be different than another person that say, I want to be a multimillionaire and I don't care about friends and I don't care about, you know what I mean? Their plan and their goals are different, you know, and that's why it's always important to look at what you want. And you know what? When people share stuff on social media, that's fine. At least you get inspired to look at your own stuff, right? But don't take that as advice, though, because it may not work the same and you could be disappointed.
Yeah, absolutely. In social media, we have to curate it to uplift us and not the contrary.
Absolutely.
And what are the money rules that you've implemented for yourselves that were more groundbreaking? I mean, you've mentioned investing, but I'm curious, what are maybe even the little switch that you've made that created impressive results?
The one rule that I have is pay myself first, like invest in me. And what does that look like for me? There's a couple of things I do. One specifically thing that I do is when I pay my bills, let's say I pay my mortgage and stuff, I add 10% to that. So in my mind, again, it's a mindset thing. In my mind, if my mortgage is $2,000, 10% of that is to, you know, add another $200, right? Then in my mind, my mortgage is $2,200. That's how I budget. I make sure that that money automatically goes into my savings. If I pay my light bill, the same thing. I want to make sure that at least 10% of that goes into my savings. My rule is that $50 or less, that means like if a bill is $50, then I pay myself $50. I just want to make sure that my savings account is growing as I'm paying the bills too, because that's what means paying myself. And I also work with goals. So like I mentioned earlier, one of my goals is I want to spend more time with my kids, for example, which means at least once a month, I want to take a road trip, which means, okay, so in order for me to make that happen, to build those memories, right, because it's important, usually there's a dollar value associated with that. And I look at it, well, how much money would I need for gas? How much money would I need if we want to go out and eat? How much money would I need if we want to, you know, go to a museum? museum and buy certain things and to have the ultimate experience, how much would that cost? And that's why when I save, I feel like, okay, I'm saving towards something that will build memories. You know, they do say that the best things in life are free, but they're kind of not, because sometimes you have to pay for that gas to get there, or you have to pay for, you know, that experience. Unless you're time with the kids. So in my case, if I just want to stay home, which means I still have to need money because I need to buy certain food that I want to eat with them, or I want to create that experience. I might want to buy some games. So it might be a low cost experience. But everything that we do costs money. So when I save, you know, when I say to pay myself first, for the most part is, you know, towards my retirement and for my kids, but also for the experiences, you know, to make sure that those experiences are not going to be held back because I don't have enough. And the reason why I created this for myself, because I remember there were times when my kids, when I didn't have money, when I was in debt. I remember one time my daughter asked me when we were at the store, and so this is the first time I shared this publicly. And she asked me for this ice cream that was shaped like a banana and you can actually peel it. And inside was ice cream. And I did not have enough money to buy it. And then when I went back, it was discontinued. Even now, if I want to buy it, I can't. So in the back of my mind, I never want to have that kind of experience when I say, I don't want to build memories that are negative to say, I wish I could have done this. I want to build memories that are like, I'm so happy I was able to do this, you know? So always in gratitude. But again, to be able to do that, you have to set some goals and to know how much that costs and set up a plan and then build those experiences.
Thank you for sharing this story with me. I'm sure it probably fueled that just drive to be financially free and have freedom. But I don't think I've seen this ice cream before.
They don't have it anymore. This is like 40 years ago. You know, honestly, we still talk about it. And I feel so bad that I wasn't able to buy that for you. She goes, it's okay, Mom. And I'm like, I wish I would remember what company that was. I could write him a letter. Can you make one pack for my kid so that she can have it? You know? And I remember how heartbroken she was. You know, it was heartbreaking for a kid that was 2 years old and I couldn't give her something that she wants. Something as simple as ice cream, right? I think it cost like $4 or $5. And I was like, I don't have that, you know.
I'm sure she took home a valuable lesson as well.
Yes, she's become very conscious about her money to save money for what she wants. She's really good at that now.
Yeah, I'm sure she is. So coming back to your role today, do you have a mission driving you? Of course, you said that you were sharing your personal tips with your close ones before, and now you're glad to share it being licensed. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if you have a specific vision or mission today. Is it financial advisor or broker?
Yes, both, because I have access to over 70 providers, so I can create a custom plan and I can pull from any providers to be able to support that person, right? And in terms of the mission that I have by being a licensed financial advisor and broker is to work with women entrepreneurs that are in the startup stage, grown business or mature business. So I want to work with them to make sure that they have sustainable businesses. And no matter what, they are always supported, right? And they're protected and they can grow. And also work with women, individual women, to help them build a proper financial plan to get them from zero to hero or shiro, right? You know, so that they can have and turn stories and share with their children if they have children, or be able to support their families. I strongly believe that as women, you know, if we are in a good place, we're able to support the community. But if we are in a bad place, it's hard because we don't have the resources for ourselves and it's hard to share with others. So my mission in life is to help women, either women in business or women personally, to help them with their financial plan and get them from a state where, you know, they know just a little bit to help them grow. That's my mission.
I love that. It feels very obviously sincere, but I mean, with everything you've experienced, your journey, I'm sure you can relate to so many different situations and help people from where they are. Yeah, I think we definitely need more experts like you. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I agree. We do want financial advisors like me to be able to support people where they are at versus just have this one thing that they don't need and try to sell them or, you know, push that on them even if they don't need it. It's about supporting the person and where they are, whether you are zero, below zero, or growing. You know, my goal in life is to get people from where they are to always go up from here.
to where they want to be and beyond.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nobody wants to go down with their money. Everybody wants to go up with their money. So I'm here to help them.
I have a question that I want to start asking every guest, which is, do you have a recent win or accomplishment you want to celebrate with us?
Honestly, I think I shared my biggest win. But the biggest win, the recent one, it's not really a win. It's still a work in progress. But the one thing that I'm working on is striving to become a better mom. That's my thing. I want to be a better mom because I know that when it comes to business, I've had multiple businesses that I did really well in. But being a mom, it's an experience that you can't learn from other people. You have to experience it yourself. And my biggest win, and honestly, this is a big win. My 15-year-old and my 21-year-old daughter are still giving me hugs, which is the best thing ever because they're not just saying, oh, I'm too embarrassed. My mom, sometimes they have that, but for the most part, they still come to me. We still talk and they give me hugs. And that really is the biggest win because I feel like it doesn't matter what I do out there in the world. I could slay dragons. I can do all of this. But when I come home and my kids are happy to see me, I feel like I won in life.
This is really beautiful. Congratulations for that. And I think with the conversation we just had, I mean, you've gave examples by saying that you focus on, for example, having a road trip a month. Mm-hmm. It just goes to show that it's related to that work in progress objective you have.
Yeah. I have to give my kids the times, which is once a month. And then every day they get to see me at home, but I got to do the best that I can, right?
This is quality time.
It's very important.
So where can our audience find more information? Could you share your social channels, websites, anything?
Sure. You can find me at Doina Untel. So if you put my first name, last name, I am on Instagram, on LinkedIn, on Twitter, on Facebook. You can find me all these platforms. Also on YouTube. I'm also there too. So that's where you can find me. I am more on Instagram than anywhere else, but you can find me on any platforms.
I will add all these links to the show notes. But if you listen, the spelling is Doina, D-O-I-N-A, Angel, O-N-C-E-L.
Thank you so much.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Doina, for sharing your message and your journey with us today. Everybody, you can learn more about Doina's journey and services, like we said, on these platforms. And I'll see you next time.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Good in Motion. If you loved this as much as I did, go ahead and rate and subscribe so you never miss an episode. This is Juliet signing off. See you next time.